the Father's love. When I was, I want to go back a little bit here. Back in 1975, and when the fall of Saigon about to take place, everything is commotion. People run to and fro, don't know what happened. People will leave this country and say, you know, this country will be take over communism. Other people say, that's fine, you know, we live. Now, at least North Vietnam and South Vietnam are united. And so people run everywhere. People left the home, left the car. Other people step in, steal the home and steal the car. Can you see the chaos? Can you imagine the chaos in this country? And that's what happened. A month before the fall of Saigon in April 30th, a bomb just dropped right into the White House there. And things were worried. What's happening? The people in North Vietnam understand the communists so well. When they have migrated into South Vietnam many years ago, they know very well what does mean communism. They decide to leave the country. They don't care they lose millions of dollars in the bank or lost their home. They rather leave the country with empty hands. And that's what they find survival. And I know parents do that same thing. They're concerned about the family. Those who have big family, they are divided, go to many different places. And these orphanage group, people try to squeeze in to leave the country because some American want to take these orphanage out of the country as soon as possible. While there's one family, or a few family, they decide to squeeze their children in these orphanage group. And these orphanage run by the nun, very, very well organized. An American decided to send one airplane, just one, over to pick up these children to leave the country. Matter of fact, 3 days before the fall of Saigon. Well, that airplane is by the name of C-5 Transport. When it took off, the airport wasn't too long, probably less than 10 minutes. Somehow the left wing got lose the power, and some of the thing was burned off. They decided to swing back and land on Tang Son Nhuc Airport. As they swing back to start landing, the plane just go collapse, lose the power, went down right quick, and hit Delta River right there. And majority of the children die, and only a few people are alive. The Adventist hospital rush into the scene, bring all the children, and there's a nurse, few nurses in there. And then imagine you can see that most people die in that airplane. Well, there's still some children in orphanages still left there. They decided this time, they don't know what happened. Who will shoot that down? If there's a spy in the place, bring that airplane down. Because that airplane, if you know, if you remember, probably you don't remember, at the news leak out, most of the children in that airplane that are children of all these colonel and lieutenants in that airplane. All these officers in the airplane, they want to squeeze out. It's not true orphanage. But some orphanage, really true orphanage, and some of them still not, is still left behind. They still see still more small group. They say, let's take this group out. But decide to take this group out in the middle of the night. Do not let anyone know about it. They squeeze all these children out in a small plane as much as possible, and they took up in that middle of the night. And those children a fly stuff from over Singapore, Japan, and come to the United States. Now, the children in those airplanes, some of the parents are still in Vietnam. Now, the parent willing to put the children into that airplane and say goodbye forever. Goodbye forever. There's no more airplane to take anyone people out. There's no big boat to haul everyone who want to escape Vietnam. No. You stick with that country and you will be under the communists. There are some people who will be on the blacklist. You know what the blacklist? You know, you hear what the blacklist mean? That means when the communists are over, you will be taken away to concentration camp. They call it concentration camp, but some of them they pull up to the north and they kill those people. Those backlist. Some of the children on that airplane took off, and that few days before April 30th, and one of the children is me. I was able to escape out of that airplane. I did not know anything about it. But my dad do everything is possible for me to go to the orphanage group to escape. Because he know his name might be on the blacklist. We will work closely with the government. He worked for Adventist Hospital, which is closely with the government. And he afraid he not make it. He decided to send his children off, my brother and I. And that time I was 12 years old and my brother was 10 years old. How many people live here? How old are you, David? 11? Someone's younger than you, just a little kid, took off. And do not know if they can see each other anymore. Now, I was thinking about how can a father would do that? But later I will find out the father's love is that you got to send your children off because that is the only way to give you the encouragement and the willingness to escape the country. And that's what my parents did. They send the children off and they pick up two more, and they have two little children and they find every way to escape. My dad run everywhere as possible. He have a nice, beautiful home and have a nice car. And who he stopped everywhere, you know, to somewhere, people just come out and take the car right away. I mean, the chaos. But he able to escape. And when he come to this country, the first thing he would do, what he think? To find his children. To find his children. The father's love is so strong to whatever is my cost. He's going to find his children and he will save his children. I'm telling you today about the fathers that we have, the Father in heaven, is loved so much that he will find his children. Now, before that, I want you to turn in the book with me in the book of Genesis. A beautiful scene. The best scene ever that God has revealed in the Bible. And I look forward to see that scene again. When he created this world. A beautiful world. I would say this is the most beautiful world that he created. He saved this for the best. And he saved you very end. He created you with on his bare hand and to say, this is my children, Adam and Eve. And this way you do in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward or in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. He created man. He created you and I. He created something great and he put it right in the garden. This is heaven to him. This is a perfect place. And out of the ground, Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight for good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't think about the tree of good and evil. Think about this. He have created a home for his children. A perfect place. A place that you and I don't want to go. I mean, do you ever feel like when God, when your parents have a home for you? I mean, when first time my parents bought a home, after 5 long years, they rode on bicycle to save every single dollar. And every penny they have, they save. Every penny that I make by mowing the lawn, we save, we put in that, and we buy the first home. It's a beautiful home. I mean, it's small, 2-bedroom home for 6 people, but for us, this is like heaven. God had created a home that you don't want to leave. It's a perfect place. You don't have to work so hard to find food every day. If you're hungry, go out and pick a piece of fruit on the tree. It's always ripe, you know. Always seasoned. All food is ripe. And you can eat anytime you want to. It's perfect. And the Lord God said, everyone in this universe, this is my home. This is a perfect place. I will bring my home on this garden. I will live with my children, Adam and Eve. I walk with them day and night. And that's the perfect home for the human family. God created this garden as so big that if Adam and Eve have children more and more, there's plenty for everyone. If God needs to expand this Garden of Eden, He will. But things wasn't going perfect as He wished. Because there's a challenge to Him that God was not love the human race just like He loved the angels in heaven. He's a man of power and make everyone to love Him. He was challenged with that question. And you and I will be challenged with that question as well. Where you come from? Who created you? Is God really love you? Is God really love this earth? With all these things happening? Same thing with challenge to you as same thing is challenged with Adam and Eve. And same challenge was God. And God knew very well who would challenge Him. Go with me in the book of Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Because you and I are on this theater, if you will, like Shakespeare said, and we are challenged on where are we going to head in. It's not coincidence you and I sit in this church. It's not coincidence that you know about this Adventist church. It's not coincidence. There's something happened in this world, and you and I will hear about it. You and I will take a note of that. Whatever we take with us, what are we do with that? God will reveal to us. Revelation chapter 12. Okay, I'm reading verse 7. And the war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon and his angel. There's war in heaven, and there's Satan. We're going to take over heaven. And challenge what Jesus Christ said. You couldn't control this heaven. You are controlled with power, but not with love. And so here it is. War broke out. They want to challenge. And so there's one third of angel come with Satan, make war with two third of angel who go with Jesus Christ. War is heaven. I mean, God could never dream. How can war is happening? A perfect place. Everyone, they have their own place. Why would you want to fight? Verse 8, but they did not prevail. Satan didn't prevail, nor was a place found in them in heaven any longer. And so the red dragon would cast out that serpent of old called the devil and Satan who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Where is Satan, his angel now? Where? And this very earth. I wish God could cast him somewhere else on this earth. But he casts the very earth. You and I are experiencing that right now. You like it or not, my friend, you will experience. We will face a great battle of all between good and evil. And not a simple battle between one country and another. This is a battle of good and evil for eternal life. And the battle will come to a close if you believe. I know some of you might not believe. Some of us might think it's going on forever. What if the message of Revelation will come to an end? I'm telling you, if you believe any part of the Bible, you really got to believe that the world will come an end soon. Because you and I don't know the future. You and I don't see what the devil will see. The devil saw. What's going to happen? And he going to testify with you here in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. He testified to you, and so you better believe it. Because he don't want you to know the truth. What is the truth? Today we live in this world saying there's no truth. There's no absolute truth. Every religion is good. There's no such thing as the devil. Matter of fact, no such thing as God. I'm telling you, there is a truth that you and I need to find out about it, because the devil testified to you right here, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 here. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary of the devil walk about like a roaring lion, seek whom he may devour. That's when the devil knows his time is short. He knows it's an end very soon. And you and I were sitting here and so it's not coming so soon. It's sooner than you think. Just like back in people in Vietnam in 1975, you know, nothing would happen. The war not going to be over. I mean, the battles in Vietnam between North and South for years, it's not going to happen. It's not going to be that soon. Matter of fact, when the communists marching to Saigon so fast, they couldn't even leave that quick. The battle will be over very soon. Which side would be you on? And no, here it is. I'm telling you, God the Father knows what's going on. And God want to pen it down in the Bible for you and I to read. This is the truth. If you and I don't read this, you don't know what the end will be like. And you will be caught by surprise. The devil knows so well that so many Adventists are reading the book Revelation, you know. And so he's coming out different type of interpretation of the beast, the dragon, the 70-day prophecy, and 1260-year prophecy. All that coming out, different angle, make people confused. The more the world confused, the more I know this, the truth in here. I need to seek and search for it. And so here back in the garden, the fathers know the war is going to happen. As Satan about to enter this war, you know, I don't know why God allowed Satan to enter the Garden of Eden. Why would you? I mean, if Satan is so strong and took one third of the angel, I mean, Satan will go in here and take Adam and Eve so easy. You ever thought about that? But you know, the devil put God in the test here. You are in control of the human race. Give them a chance to see which side will they choose. You know this story very well in the book of Job. Let Job choose. Take away his possession. Take away of your guardian angel. Take away and see if he really worship you. That what happened in the Garden of Eden. And here human race so weak. And we are really weak. If you think you're strong, you got to be careful. We are very weak. We are very weak creatures. And so easy for the devil to tempt us. If we don't have God and angel on our side, we will lose this battle anytime. But God decided to love Adam and Eve so good. I could imagine, you know, God can create another Adam and Eve. God could cast the devil out, but he cannot do that. He is love. He got to show that what God's love is all about. And so he took the challenge. He took the challenge. So as Adam and Eve was cast out of the garden, and right there, Adam and Eve know very well is between the war zone, between good and evil. They lose the chance. They listen to all those temptations. You know, all the temptations. You know, once you have the bite, you will be like what? Like God. If you study all the world religion, what they will teach you, if you live a good life, okay, if you meditate long enough, if you recite all these, you become like God. I don't know, you study Buddhism, the same thing. You can become like God if you do all those things. That's what the world religion is all about. We cannot be like God. And so that challenge took upon us, and we want to be better when we end. And so guess what? Satan had pulled the human race out. Garden Eden. And God decided in that very day, the very day that Adam and Eve sinned, the very day Adam and sinned, do you know what he did? The Father's love. The book of Revelation 13:8, the very last phrase, Revelation 13. Hey, this is my favorite text. This is the text that tells me how much he loved me. The Lamb slain from what? From the foundation of the world. Is that what your Bible says? The Lamb decided to give his life. Because Adam and Eve don't believe. I just imagine, you know, today where that we live, you know, just imagine with me here. If a mother bear a child and she loved her child so much, and somehow her child died in maternity room, she decided, took someone else's child. They took someone else's child. And the two women fight over it for one child. You and I are living that world right now. We have been fighting over it. Are we God's children or Satan's children? I don't know, the word Satan, it might sound scary to you, but that time, you know, it's a beautiful name, Lucifer. You know, it's a beautiful name. The morning star. And that's what the battle we're in. And here we don't know which one. That's why the devil took the Bible away. And now you and I have the Bible. You know what the truth. And so what the Father's love did, what Father's love do? He decided to give his life to show that you are my son. Do you know what I mean, give his life? Do you know what I mean? You love your child so much, you're willing to give your life to show that you really love him? You don't understand. I remember one time on the boat people, they travel out of Vietnam. They travel for days waiting for all the big sheep to pick them up because run out of food. No gas, no water, nothing. If no one rescued them the next few days, they would die on that ship. Very small boat, you know, only 20, 30 people. And guess what? There's one child. The father and child right there. Look at his son. Only a little baby, infant, don't know anything. And he couldn't understand. What can he do? Every food he had given his children. Every rice he had, he gave this very child. Nothing else he can give. And if this child don't have any water, in the next few hours he's going to die because you can see his lip all dry. And he started to get so sick. The father decided to cut his vein, to let the blood drip out and give that to his son. It's a true story. It's true. Many stories you heard about it in Vietnam, that even the mother, the son, they sell blood to what? To buy food for the children. You heard the story, right? You haven't heard the story. Come on now, where are you? Because so poor, no food to eat. And today, you know, when you go to places, you donate blood. Over there in Vietnam, you sell blood. And they check your weight and see if you weight enough, you know, before you can give blood. You know, those mother and father, they put rock in the pocket and hopefully weight it long, heavy enough so they can give blood. I'm telling you, people, they love the children so much. You and I, do you understand how much the fathers love you? God willing to come to this earth to die for you. He came back 4,000 years later, died on the cross. It's not to show the devil that he can win the war. It's to show you and I how much he loves you. That's all. God willing to lose everything. Jesus willing to lose everything so you can live forever. That you can witness to the whole universe that God is love. That's it. If we don't take this serious, the devil will take us over. And you're the witness for the devil, not for God. And so what we see right here, the devil knows his time is very short, and he's going to come after you. Not to the world, it's to you. Because why? Why is he coming to you? Why do the devil don't go out there to 6 billion people out there willing to listen to the devil? You know why? Well, you can read the Bible to know why. But go with me in the book of Revelation again, chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Back Revelation chapter 12, you know this. And the dragon engaged with the woman, which is you and I in his church, and went to make war the rest of his offering and keep the command of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The devil want to come after his children because the devil couldn't win the battle on the cross with Jesus Christ. And now the only way he can get is who? You. You. Me. That's why he's getting it. I'm wondering, when Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, do you think that make the devil happy or sad? Upset. What do you think? Upset. On the day when Jesus Christ on this earth, the devil don't want Jesus Christ to die for in the human race. When Jesus Christ old enough, thrown in the wilderness, tried to tempt Jesus Christ, don't take the route of die for his human race. On the day of the cross, same thing, try to tempt, do not drink this cup. And so you don't have to go through this. But you know what? Jesus Christ willing to die for us. That's where the devil gets so mad. He's so mad. He decided to go and get all the 12 disciples. Matter of fact, he decided to kill all the disciples. And any disciple coming up, he so decided. For 3 centuries, he killed so many people. The more people he killed, the more people follow Jesus Christ. He decided to go into the church to change the doctrine so the church don't know what is right and wrong anymore. For a whole 1,000 years, he kept the people in darkness until the light of the word come out again into the dark cave unto you and I. Until now we can see the truth. As time go by, as the Reformation go by, every single generation, he's going to open up the truth. And the more we see the truth, and you and I will see the light more clear and clearer. And that's where the devil is so upset right now. He thought he can keep the truth under the dark cave. And now break loose. That's where you and I come in. That's why you and I here. Not because we are better than someone else, or we have an opportunity to listen to the truth better than someone else. No. You have chosen one. You are chosen one to know the truth. Because you're willing to spread the truth. God will not choose someone who were not willing to spread the truth. You know that? God calling you and I in to spread the truth. God called this very church because the church willing to go send missionary all over the world. But if the church, God were not doing that, if this among the church were not doing that, he will give this message to someone else because the time is short and God don't have much time left. He won't share the truth. Why is that? Because he loves you and I. He loves every single person he created in this world. Billions of people. Everyone you see has got children. And they don't know it. They don't know. Many children come to this world, they don't know who's their father and mother. Who don't know who the true father's mother? We know who our fathers. We know. Will you live up to that truth? Say, Lord, now I know who you are because you died for me. Because the devil don't care if they die for me or not. You died for me to save me. That's it. You died for me in my place so we can have eternal life. You know, that's what God willing to do that. That idea, a lot of people not understand it very well unless you understand about the history. Not history. Back many years ago, if you got caught up and put in prison, and they will kill you, if someone is take your place, you will go free. You know, today might is not that idea. You don't understand that thought. But you read those stories, that's what will take place, like in the Bible. God willing to take your step, to take your place, so you can have eternal life. That's what Father's love all about. Do you know? And here we are in this church right here, this small church, and few people in this El Monte know the truth. We know who the true Father. We know who we're fighting for. How about you and I? Are we going to let other people know about it? Are you and I going to let other people know about it? You know, the mission center God is about to give us, I don't think God will give us for the sake of more room. I don't think God loves us so much more than other churches to bless us as mission center. God about to bestow a ministry upon this church greater than we can handle. I don't know what, but I know something's going to happen. Because I know God said the time is short. And thousand people out in there do not know who the Father who have died for them. He died for you and I before we come on this earth to show you and I we are His children. And so you know the message. And I know some of you have not grasped the message, accepted it. I pray you do not leave and abandon what you learn. Some of you have not accepted, learn. You know it. You know the truth. The devil will work with you day and night. As many people I saw are leaving this church day by day. It's so sad. So sad. And I don't want you in that boat. Do not. You step on the right boat. You step on the right vessel to take you to heaven kingdom. I don't know how to prove to you. It's only you and God know. So if you have not surrendered to God, I pray that you read the Bible and find out the Father's love. God have done everything. The question, are you willing to accept? Shall we pray? Oh Lord our God, some of us have a much burden that we just love you so much. We love you so much that you have died for us. You love us so much that you review us the great battle that ever take place. And it still take place. And some of us have not committed to the truth, to believe in the book Revelation, to believe that you're coming soon, to believe that you have died for us and take us home. I pray that we today will be a diligent Bible student, diligent Christian to learn the Word of God day and night. To not let the doctrine, the wind of doctrine will come to our church, to our family, and we will lose by it. Oh Lord, I've seen so many people have entered the truth and left the truth. I pray every single young man, woman, and adult that they stick by the truth, live by it, and exercise what they learn. Lord, love our church here. You have bestowed upon us the mission. It may be an impossible mission, but it's your mission. Lord, help us to engage into the mission to share the word. Even though it's how hard it is, with their soul out there, they need to be safe for thy kingdom. Help us, Lord. Love us, equip us, that we never, never leave you until you come back again. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.